All right. It's so great to be with you all, as always. I hope that you know that we drop shows multiple times a week. If you haven't tuned in or this is the first time, we do. And we've done almost 300 interviews over the course of the last several years. We rank in top 1% all the time of not only just spirituality, faith, and business as well. Business and entrepreneurship. I mean, it's so rad to be able to steward marketplace ministers. That's what Fit and Faith is all about. And you often hear me talking, but today you hear me a bit quiet, a bit stunned, a bit in awe, and a bit enamored with not only the guest, but the guest's teaching. He is a silence teacher. Have you heard of this? A silence teacher. I mean, how amazing. He talks about centering prayer and he teaches us how to do it. He also has an incredible book called Sitting with God, A Journey to Yourself Through Centering Prayer. And it really mobilized me to want to activate in some of the truest and knowledgeable and known for all of you who know the word, these callings and these Jesus examples of getting alone before the Lord without speaking, without your own, preconceived notion of what is to be said or accomplished in this prayer time. It's not a checkbox, right? It's God just literally being able to be with you, to speak over you. And for the founders, innovators, and trailblazers here listening, I know that's you. I loved the element that it actually helps you through centering prayer to discover your future self, take massive action, and impact the world. And I know my people, I know you're my people because you're here listening. And that is something you aspire to because we're actually called and ordained to. And so let's go out and impact the world, but let's get a little silent first by listening to our teacher today, Rich Lewis. Rich, thanks for hanging out with us. And please, you all, be a blessing to him and get his new book off of Amazon. Again, Sitting with God, A Journey to Your True Self Through Centering Prayer. Let's get into the show. Welcome to the Fit and Faith Podcast. FIT is an acronym representing founders, innovators, and trailblazers who are looking to live a life wholly, fully, authentically, and truly fit. A space for us to connect on the raw, real stories of mind, body, and soul alignment of entrepreneurs and kingdom leaders. I'm your host, Tamara Andress, and this podcast isn't like the cookie cutter interview experience. I've been coined the entrepreneurial rabbi, and so we do go there, unscripted. No matter how far, wide, deep, or high the there is, my desire is to see people rise from the inside out into their greatest calling by sharing their truest stories, talents, and tips. As a purpose activator and brand builder, I believe our successes and failures are derived from who and whose we are, not what we do. But strategy and vision are equally as important to the mission. So let's cut to the chase together and get fit in faith. Grow your business for God's sake? No, really, I mean it. Grow your business for God's sake. That's right. Business is ministry and ministry is business. And it's time we take action in this belief and show up in our anointing with fresh fire. This is a cultivation conference. This is an activation conference. I want to see you reap the harvest, the promise that was predestined for you in your purpose and your calling. But you've got to go back to the root in order to do that. Come and let us water you so you can come fully alive and fully free every single day to make the impact you were born to make so others can also reap the legacy of your harvest forevermore. Let's do this. In Nashville, Tennessee, November 3rd through the 5th, you do not want to miss it. Get your tickets today at growforgod.com. That's right, and that's easy. growforgod.com. Can't wait to see you there. Hug your neck and grow together. Welcome, welcome to the Fit and Faith Podcast. I am so excited to introduce you to someone who I know is going to bring us a bit more centered because it's truly what he does in and out every single day. He's going to help us discover our future self. He's going to help us take massive action in that future self so we can impact the world. And Rich, you are in good company because you are alongside founders, innovators, and trailblazers in the Fit and Faith community who want to do exactly that, take massive action and impact the world. But you teach it in a way that I don't believe anyone on the show in the past 4 years, 300 episodes in, has ever quite taught it. And so I love bringing new voices to the show. I'm super excited to get to know you today. Thanks for coming.
Great. Thanks for having me. I hope you can still see me. I think I may have had an internet issue where I wasn't hearing you. So I hope you can hear me and see me.
You.
Let me know
and
if there's
you.
An issue.
You're good okay. on my end.
Okay, great.
So Rich, I want to jump right into the backstory. I mean, you're an author, you're a teacher, you're a coach. You have literally written so many pieces. You guys, first off, need to just get into his silenceteaches.com asset resource library, literally over 258, I think, pages of information on writing and teaching us how to center ourselves in prayer, specifically prayer centering. I want to know, like, what is prayer centering and how did you stumble upon it?
Sure. So centering prayer is wordless, silent prayer. So most people think of talking to God. And I'm, by all means, I'm not suggesting stop any verbal prayer that you do. And I still pray verbally. But centering prayer is sitting with God, wordless, sitting with God and letting and going beyond our thoughts and emotions and letting God act in us at a deeper level beyond our words, our thoughts, our emotions, and let us really connect to our true self, the person God wants us to be. So that's really what centering prayer is. And I can quickly explain how you do it because people probably are wondering, So centering prayer has been around for 50 years. It was created actually by three Trappist monks in the early 1970s, so three Catholic priests saw other forms of meditation going on in the secular world, and they wanted something for the Christian community. And one of the priests, Father William Menninger, was reading a 14th century classic book called The Cloud of Unknowing, and as he read it, kind of the method of silent, wordless prayer jumped off the pages at him, and he began practicing it amongst himself, the other priests, and then they began rolling it out to the public. And then about 10 years later, in 1984, the Contemplative Outreach Organization was created, and it's contemplativeoutreach.org. And it's the main centering prayer organization with a ton of centering prayer resources and groups that practice internationally as well as in the U.S. So I just wanted people to understand this practice has been around about 50 years, but the idea of silence goes all the way back to Jesus and earlier. I mean, Jesus went off to be alone by himself, and we surmise he wasn't always just talking. He was just sitting with God and communing with God and resting in the rest of God. He wasn't always talking, particularly if he was fasting. He couldn't. He needed to conserve his energy. So he was sitting with God and letting God act in him and letting God nourish his soul so that when he left the desert, he could go on his missions and do the things he was called to do by God. So that's a little bit about centering prayer. Looked like you were going to say something before I was going to describe how you do it.
I did. Well, I was just processing, like, especially in this community, there are so many people who are aspiring speakers, they're podcasters, they're teachers, they're coaches. And so we are often finding ourselves talking, right? We're often the one who is presenting and has the mic. And just this morning, I was in a different chapter to a book about Abba Father. And it literally by Brennan Manning is his name. I'm not sure if you've heard of it or not, but he was talking about the powerful element of going on these 8-day retreats. I don't know why he chose 8 days. You would think he would choose 7, but he would go on these 8-day retreats once per year where he would have to remain in silence the entire time. No reading, no out loud prayer, no TV, no music, no worship music, and just truly sit in silence. And I was processing it thinking, oh, that kind of sounds terrible, a little bit frightening. I don't know where my mind or my spirit would wander in that moment, but it makes me think of The Shack, the book The Shack, and how he went on this exploration essentially in his mind in silence because he fell, but it was a dream that ended up putting them on this entire revelation of healing. And I think that's the word that I keep coming back to when I think about centering prayer. I just think of the healing of being in silence and being able to hear from God in a way that we're not generally attuned to.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. Centering prayer, I've been practicing it since 2014. June, I don't know what's magical about June. Well, I discovered centering prayer in the fourth quarter of 2013. I was looking on Amazon for a book to read, and I came across Amos Smith's book, Healing the Divide, Recovering Christianity's Mystic Roots. And in his book, he talked about a practice called centering prayer, silent, wordless prayer that he had been doing for 15 years or so up until that point. And that immediately intrigued me, because silence always intrigued me. I just didn't know what to do in the silence. And I would just sit in silence for minutes at a time, and it was brutal. And I thought, I'm going to persist and see what happens. Totally. But when I discovered this practice, then I had a tool for sitting with, how do you sit with God? So centering prayer was a practice that really resonated well with me. And I decided to take it very seriously, began practicing it twice a day for 20 minutes each, as much as possible. And I don't know what's so magical about June 1, 2014, other than I guess I was just ready. And I haven't looked back. It's resonated with me, and it really has changed me. And it's not centering prayer has changed me. It's God has changed me. Because when you sit with God and just let go of you and let God act in you and get yourself out of the way, God heals you and God transforms you. Should I quickly just tell people how you do centering prayer?
Because yeah, I want to hear. I still have so many questions. I want to know, like, beyond just how to do it, because I want our listeners to know how to do that. I want to know, like, what are some of the revelations that you've had during that time? Or has there ever been, like, audible voice or just like a sense of knowing? Or how is He speaking to you in that time?
Sure. And well, let's get into all that. But how you do centering prayer is you sit comfortably with your eyes closed. And let me also explain centering prayer. People will say, is it just meditation? And yes, it is. But it's more than that. It's meditation, but it's also building a relationship with God in a different way, where you're sitting with God and you're not just talking to God, where you're learning to sit and listen to God. Is what it is. So centering, you sit comfortably with your eyes closed to begin your centering prayer time. You interiorly introduce a sacred word of usually one or two or three syllables. So it could be ocean, God, Jesus, love. And that signifies you're sitting with God and the purpose of your sit of opening to the presence and actions of God within. We don't think we're God, but we know God is within us waiting to come out and take action in the world. So you sit comfortably, close your eyes, use your sacred word to begin your sit. And then as you're sitting there, as you begin engaging your thoughts, and what I mean by that is if you begin thinking about all the things you did before your sit, or you begin thinking about the errands or duties or responsibilities you have to do later that day, you realize I'm no longer sitting with God. I'm sitting with me. I'm sitting with my routines, my planning, my plotting. You reintroduce that sacred word to come back to the purpose of your sit, of sitting with God and letting go of your engaged thoughts and just sitting with God and trusting God. And you just use the sacred word when needed to keep coming back to the present moment and purpose of your sit of returning to God, returning to God, returning to God. So it's not used as a mantra, and there are practices that use a mantra in centering prayer. It's just used when needed. And it doesn't have to be a word. Some people will use a word if they're more audible people. I quickly discovered I'm more of a visual person. So I interiorly picture a Jesus icon actually in my head to come back to the present moment because I'm more visual. Some people are more physical. They'll use their breath to come back. And then lastly, some people are afraid they'll fall asleep if they close their eyes. So they keep their eyes open and stare at a spot 5 feet or so in the distance. So that's essentially how
you... thinking about like where I would do it, I'm immediately like,
prayer
is
just to continue with God during this.
Rich, we must have some lag time. There we go. I can see you a bit better. I was thinking about where I would do it, right? And the process of I couldn't lay down because I would fall asleep. I'd want to do it outside, but I feel like nature, even though nature to me, there's an essence obviously of God because He made it. If I would get distracted by a bird or like, where would my attention end up diverting? And so I think that the element of closing my eyes and actually having that visual image, I'm much a visual learner myself, that would be really powerful.
No, and you can do it. So for people new to centering prayer, I suggest try it for 30 days, make it the first thing you do in the morning before you do anything else, and just try it for 1 to 5 minutes. So I'm not suggesting you jump right into 20 minutes, unless you want to, but make a commitment to try sitting with God for 30 days. Make it the first thing you do in the morning and try it for 1 to 5 minutes and see what happens.
So tell me about kind of some personal revelations that you've had, because I'm curious, one, why June 1st, 2014, like what was going on in your life that you felt called into action or conviction of going deeper in your faith? And then what have you learned since then?
So, I guess prior to Centering Prayer, as I said, I would just sit. I had read books by Carl McCullman, and he talked a lot about the power of silence, but I don't remember him sharing a practice. I've since learned he actually does Centering Prayer. So at that time, I was just sitting in silence, and it was brutal, and forced myself to do it for minutes at a time. But when I found Centering Prayer in Amos Smith's book, I began a back and forth email dialogue with him. I began reading other books. So really all throughout the first quarter of 2014, I began really exploring what is this Centering Prayer and asking him more questions about it. And then it just resonated with me. And I think it was just, it all came to a head where I thought, this is what I need to do. And it just happened to be June 1 that where I decided I'm going to just try to take this seriously. I'm going to sit with God as much as possible, twice a day, and really see what happens. And I just felt like prior to that, I was just skimming the surface with my relationship with God. It was just kind of surface level. It wasn't deep. And I didn't think I was really the person God wanted me to be or taking the actions God wanted to be. So I thought, I think this might help me. I need to just jump into the Centering Prayer swimming pool and take it seriously and see what happens.
And tell me about some of those revelations, like since then, in the practice thereof, and how even just the phraseology of like discovering your future self, taking massive action and impacting the world, how have you been able to do that from this practice?
Sure. So when I think about after June 1 and who I am and how it's changed me, I guess God has blessed me in a number of ways. We sit with God simply because we love God, and that's really it. And you're just continuously returning to God and trusting God. But God has a way of healing and transforming you and giving you what God knows that you need. So since I've been practicing Centering Prayer, I have a whole lot more confidence in myself than I had prior to Centering Prayer. I have a willingness to get out of my comfort zone, try and do new things. You know, I have more inner peace and calm, despite the outer chaos. So I now work from home 100% of the day, and work can be very busy. So despite the outer chaos of work, I can have inner peace and hone in and get the tasks done that need to get done. And I think I'm more present in the moment with people and giving them the attention they deserve and less reactive and just listening to them, giving them the space they need and deserve from me, rather than immediately rendering an opinion. We're telling them, this is what I think. That's not necessarily what that person wants. So it's blessed me with a lot of those fruits and an excitement for life. Not that I wasn't excited to live life, but just I'm extremely excited to live life on a daily basis and see what it has in mind. So Centering Prayer has really changed me in that prior to a lot of things I'm doing now, we're not even on the radar screen. So the idea of having a website, the idea of doing one-on-one coaching, the idea of having a published book, the idea of I've been on over 100 podcasts to share Centering Prayer in my book. It was not on the radar screen. And the idea of speaking, I've spoken in front of large and small groups, and many of them all via Zoom. All of this scared the heck out of me. And I never, pre-2014, never would have even done any of this stuff. Too scary. Now it's like I'm willing to just keep pushing the line of what is my comfort zone and keep expanding and trust the inner edges of God. What does God want me to do? And then can just take action.
This concept specifically around confidence associated to Centering Prayer is really touching home, because I was just on a book writing retreat with brand new authors, budding authors who are just conceptualizing, just visualizing, just bringing to life their chapters of their own story. And confidence is a massive conversation associated to that of like, you know, there's a shame element associated to maybe sharing elements of your story or traumas associated to your past. There's also a what if nobody reads it and all the circling things that happen to us when we're going to put something out in public, even speaking as you're talking to or coaching for sure is a viable and vulnerable space that everyone can step into in some way, shape or form. But there's that confidence piece. I think about cultivating anything as far as a leadership realm goes in silence, because I did like leadership workshops when I was younger. And even from a mentorship perspective, when we're learning from a teacher and educator now, it's very much done audibly, but it's also that idea of caught, not taught. That's our like our kind of mantra around parenting strategies as well. And I think about what God teaches in the silent moments and how rare they are.
No, and what I think of centering prayer as a reverse prayer that God is praying in me during this time. So when you're sitting in silence, you're not receiving it. Even if you receive a revelation, we let go of it because it may not really be God. It may be what we want it to be God. So in centering prayer, we actually let go of all thoughts and emotions, no matter what happens. So even if Jesus seems to appear in your centering prayer time, you let it go. You have an inner nudge to do something, you let it go. If it's that important outside of your centering prayer, God will make sure the inner nudge is there. So that's what I've noticed with centering prayers. I just continuously return to God and let go of whatever happens. And outside of centering prayer, that's where when I have these inner nudges, I write them down so I don't lose them. And I have, I'll call it my future self barometer of how do I know these are, I'm a big believer in affirmation. So I'll write down goals in all areas of my life, whether it's personal, career, family, health, finances, et cetera. I'll jot down a single sentence statement. And then how I know there are a future self that God wants me to do. And B is, you know, if there's an inner peace and calm about it, there's an excitement about it, it doesn't harm me, it doesn't harm others. And it, even if it pushes me out of my comfort zone, and God wants me to move out of my comfort zone, if it hits all of those, I continue doing it. If suddenly one day, one of them, it doesn't quite seem right, I may slow down and take another look at it. But that's worked for me since I've been practicing centering prayer. So I use it as my barometer of this is an affirmation and this is a goal that God wants me to continue pursuing.
I think there's that the piece of writing it down, because that's what my literal next concept was thinking, like, well, gosh, it kind of feels like you're in a bit of a dream state, like you'd be in a dream state as you're receiving. Because when you're in a dream and you can like see what's happening and you feel like you're watching the movie, but you're inside of the movie. And so I feel like if God was just speaking over me, I would want to just like, one, stay there for probably longer than I would recognize, but simultaneously that I'd want to capture it. And so are there ever times where the capturing is just kind of the essence, it becomes the new essence of who you are as you walk into that next moment, not in centering prayer? Or do you tend to write it all down, journal it out?
I journaling and centering prayer go hand in hand. If I had read about the power of journaling, and I never did it, and it wasn't, I'm embarrassed to say, I'll just say it, I really didn't start journaling until about May of this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I heard how powerful it was, and man, it is powerful. So combining centering prayer with journaling has been very powerful, because the inner nudges that I receive during centering prayer, I then outside of centering prayer, I begin writing. So every morning I write. I'll write and then go into my centering prayer sits, but I'm writing and sometimes I write at night too. I'll either write at night and in the morning, but often before centering prayer sits, and anything that I feel that needs to be said is said, whether I'm venting or complaining or setting goals or lamenting to God and maybe having a pity party for myself. So anything goes, and it could be a short phrase, it could be a single word, it could be a sentence, it could be a paragraph. I just let whatever feels that it should be. And I've just noticed how powerful journaling is, because yeah, centering prayer is sitting with God, and then outside of centering prayer, well, what is God revealing to me in centering prayer? I need to write it down. So that's where, when I'm journaling, that's where I'm writing down, what am I hearing from God? What do I think God wants me to do? What are the next steps God wants me to take?
So in your book, Sitting with God, are you talking through revelations, or is it more of a how-to? Tell us a bit about that.
It's a little bit of both. So the book itself shares what is centering prayer for new people and how to do it. It talks about how to go deeper in your existing practice if we're an existing practitioner. It also talks about your true self and who is this person, and that centering prayer connects you to your true self, the person God wants you to be. Because if you think about it, during centering prayer, you're letting go, and you take the letting go attitude or posture with you outside of your center and prayer sit. So you let go of who you are not and become who you are. You let go of things you tell yourself that are harmful, such as I'm too young or I'm too old or I don't have the right skill set or I'm the wrong person for this, or all the things we tell ourselves that are just not true. So you let them go, and what's left is what you should be. And then you just have to have the courage to do it and trust God. I think of it as I sit with God, then I get up and I walk with God. God doesn't leave me and say, I'll see you again at your next sit. God comes with me and partners with me on the actions that I take.
I just think of ego, you know, the ego element of that. And if people haven't done a lot of ego work or emotional intelligence work, I feel because we're so, and I want to say this kindly, but I think it's true, we're pretty self-centered in the way that we exist, in the way that society emulates how we should exist, and in comparison and in success and really a lot of areas of life. And so to get into this space and really let that ego go and focus in on what he says over us, which is the truth of our identity, I feel like really, really change a lot of people, especially those who are egocentric or narcissistic, if they had that time to be able to get rid of that and really just be loved. Because isn't that at the root what everybody wants, is just be seen, known, and loved?
Right. And that's really what centering prayer is. It's just sitting with God, being loved by God, being healed by God, and then listening to the inner nudges from God and getting your ego out of the way. And instead of doing what you think you should do, doing what God wants you to do, which really is much better.
and will
work out better for you. And one quick thing I'll say about centering prayer, you know, it's considered divine therapy. There's a lot of things happening each time you return to your sit. So if you think about it, you know, you have a ton of tension that you hold in your body, whether it's in your forehead or your shoulders, or your stomach. So every time you sit, you're releasing the tension in your body. And then you're letting go of thoughts that you know you have. You're also letting go of repressed thoughts that you didn't know you have. So if you continuously practice centering prayer twice a day, or even once a day, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, and then years pass, it's tremendous healing. You're getting rid of bodily tension. You're getting rid of repressed thoughts. You're getting rid of thoughts that you know you continue to hold on to but should let go of. And it's true freedom. And then what's left is the person God wants you to be that you've just haven't taken any action on until you've let go of all of this other emotional and physical stress of a lifetime.
I know, it feels so freeing. Like you're talking right about it. I'm like, let's just do it. Let's just do it right now on the show. We'll just be completely dead silent. Ready? Just kidding. No, but as I think about for you specifically in curiosity, is this is pretty counterintuitive in my opinion to what definitely religion teaches and even what a lot of churches practice now. I mean, you go to a church service, when does everybody ever sit in silence? Even worship their sound, right? Even worship they're singing to you, or something is being presented to you as a concept, and they don't really ever just say, let's just be silent before the Lord, even though there's many, many times that Jesus does this biblically and the Lord tells us to do it. Like it's a summon, it's a call, it's a command. And so I want to know, from even maybe juxtaposition or contradiction to the walk that you had pre-centering prayer in your Christian faith, how has that changed? Or have you gotten backlash from people who are in their faith?
I haven't gotten backlash. It's just, I mean, exactly what you're saying. It's not commonly thought of as prayer. It's more, I guess, the Western church doesn't accept silence as much. The Eastern church has always practiced silence. And this time, as we both discussed, goes back to Jesus and goes back into the Old Testament prior to Jesus. So it's just not thought of as prayer. So I haven't gotten backlash, but no, I know some people have, where they're thinking, well, you're just being a Buddhist.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'll tell people is it's not just meditation. It is building a relationship with God, and we're letting God acting us beyond our words, beyond our thoughts, beyond our images. And God is within us, and we're touching that piece of God that we're not touching. We don't get to touch, I guess, if we just do verbal prayer.
It's I won't say convicted. I come to every show and I'm always like, okay, God, convict me in a space that I need to be convicted. But I think I process speed. I process the speed. I process the listening skills. And as leaders who are listening to the show, as entrepreneurs or people who are just guidance of any sort, even as a parent, we are constantly talking. And so I'm like eager to hear from the Lord. And I know that my counterparts are in the same, like, we're like, God, we want to hear from you. I want to know you more. And yet the knowing process, when I'm getting to know you, I just have so many questions that I want to ask, right? So it takes my reciprocation of being quiet to hear from you. And there's not a practice, even in Catholicism, right? Like, you go in and you repent and you're telling somebody to say a prayer for you. At what point does, like, the Father will reciprocate and be like, you've been forgiven, but are they actually ever hearing from the Lord or quiet before the Lord in their repentance? So just really unique and not something that you hear often. I have children who go to a Quaker school. And so obviously an element of Protestant, element of Christianity, and they actually do something called meeting for worship, and Quakers worship in silence. Right. And so it's 30 minutes of practice silence with 125 kids, if you can imagine that, inside of their schoolhouse. And they put a query out, which it sounds a lot like what your intentional word would be. And the query could be something around the holiday. It could be something around something that happened politically or in the community. And they just want them to sit with it. But they do one element that is not something you're talking about here, is that if the child feels like their palms getting sweaty, or if they sense like butterflies in their belly, then what they're simmering on isn't just meant for them. It's meant for the collective whole. And so they encourage them to stand and share their thought. And so sometimes it breaks that silence and goes into a conversation, not conversation, but more so thought sharing, that can really turn the entire community for an emotional spin, depending on how it launches into conversation. So I just wanted to share that there are kiddos even that are practicing silence. And I think if we could give that to our children as a gift now, how much more practice of hearing from the Lord they could have, rather than us as adults who are like, I can't sit still for a minute in silence.
No, I was intrigued by the Quaker. So I actually went to many years back, I went to the traditional Quaker service, and it's pretty much exactly what you said. I went to it was built in the early 1800s, walked in, sat on the wooden bench, and they kind of had elevate. It was like a bleacher system or whatever. And I sat, and then the doors shut and they began the silence. And then in the middle of the silence, if someone had something to say that they thought was important, they would say it. And then they would stop and sit down, and then we would be back to silence. But the neat thing, I was shocked. There was about 100 people sitting there, and it was not just adults, it was children. So it was adults and children sitting in silence doing this. And then after it was probably 30 or 40 minutes of silence, then they had announcements and they welcomed any new people, and they had prayers if anybody needed to be prayed for. And then they had their duty. They had their, I guess, their activities after the service. So it was just the need to experience the traditional Quaker service of just sitting and waiting on God. But they did kind of exactly what they didn't have queries, but similar to what you said, if someone, three or four people would say something in the middle of the silence and then sit back down because they felt they had something that they needed to share.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of elements even in like funerals, right? Where there's like this practiced silence before even music starts, that the family is kind of gathering and preparing. And so I just think if we were to visualize and also recognize that there are so many times where we have an opportunity to sit before the Lord and we just fill it with something, right? Like those early morning moments where for me, I wake up before the sun and before my kiddos. And so there's so much silence. It's like my favorite, sweetest time of the day often. But even times where you're driving, even times where you're showering, I end up turning on a podcast or an Audible, or I turn on music, and I constantly fill this void, and I do it because I think I feel like I'd be alone otherwise. But isn't like that a massive call on us as an individual, is to be alone and know what it's like to be alone?
No, I agree. And some people, because I practice twice a day. So I practice first thing in the morning, and it's about a 30 to 45 minute routine of, you know, reading, journaling, and at least a 20 minute sit. But then I take a second sit, usually before lunch. And many people will say, I don't have time for the second sit. And I tell them, you need to sit with God, because God refills you, replenishes you, refills your interior reserves, and helps you finish the day. So I'll challenge people to do that. And it is hard, because you think, you're too busy, I can't take the time away from my time, as I'm more productive.
Rich, I'm not sure if you're still sharing. It looks like you froze on my end. And I am just really hopeful that those who are listening had a moment to be silent and have centered prayer. And since I do not see him anymore, I am going to go ahead and close this show. But I want it to be with intention. And I know that God is so good, and he's so intentional in our times, even this very podcast, even this very moment, that if I just had our amazing podcast manager clip this sound and continue silence, and yet the show not be over without a farewell, without an expectation of when, but just that 1 to 5 minutes, I would just encourage you to get silent before the Lord. You know, Rich has a website called silenceteaches.com. I mentioned it out the beginning. And so I really encourage you to check them out. He has a one-on-one coaching experience, many books, as I said, also some resources even to just sit and learn about different concepts of breath and doing this work and what it has done for his life. And so you can invite him to speak. And he obviously is someone who just brings about such peace and such grace in the way that he does so. So I encourage you to find time today, sit before the Lord and see what he has to say about you. I know that you are loved, and that's really truly where I get my heart set for today, is just that you are a beloved. I would love if you would take time to rate and review the show. I don't often ask this, and you might hear it very briefly in the intros from time to time, but truly this is little golden nuggets for us as podcasters to be able to encourage others to participate and others who would otherwise never see the show. And so Rich joined us one more time. I want to give him an opportunity to give you a farewell and encourage you, no different than I just did, to sit with the Lord today. Rich, do you have any final words for the audience before we end today's show? All right. I was just giving you a couple more minutes to be silent. All right, guys. I want you to enjoy the rest of your day. Be still before the Lord. His verse associated to this will leave you in a space of remembrance out of Matthew, that we are literally called to do this exact thing. We're called to go and sit before the Lord. When you pray, go to your inner room and close the door. Matthew 6:6. And as I set out the gate, this is not only to hear from the Lord. This is for the Lord to meet with you, to love over top of you, so that you can discover your future self, take massive action, and impact the world in that higher element of whose you are. Blessings, y'all. Hey y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway.
Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts. And you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you might even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together, and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way.